This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Thursday, March 10th, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us this morning across America on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. It's always my joy and my privilege to be able to spend some time with you every single day with you, our Relevant Radio family. On Thursdays, we always remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. Try to visit the Blessed Sacrament today if you can. If you can't, take a moment and make a spiritual communion sometime during the day. This is a great practice, especially here during Lent. And as far as visiting the Blessed Sacrament, it doesn't have to be for a long time. You can just go in for a couple of minutes and just say, hello, Lord, and say thank you, and just spend a couple of minutes, genuflect, spend a moment saying hi to Jesus. I want to bring in our very own Glenn Leverins. Glenn, the heartbreaking invasion of Ukraine continues this morning on day 15. We're starting the third week. It's hard to believe. What's the latest? What's going on this hour?
Well, we've all seen those pictures from yesterday of that maternity hospital being bombed in Ukraine by the Russians. 3 killed, 17 injured, at least at this point. Not quite calling it a war crime. The Polish folks are, as our Vice President Harris is in Poland today, speaking with our NATO ally there. She didn't go quite as far as to call them war crimes. Poland wanted to basically donate several dozen MiG fighters of their Air Force to Ukraine through the U.S. The Pentagon says we can't quite do it that way. Meanwhile, the Polish president thanking the residents of Poland for taking in so many, well over a million, maybe a million and a half Ukrainian refugees at this point, many into their own private homes. The Polish president thanking them for doing that. And just in this morning, the Vatican expressing dismay at the Russian bombing of that hospital. The Secretary of State for the Vatican, Pietro Parolin, says the bombing attack for women and children is unacceptable. He reiterated the Vatican's desire to mediate peace talks between Ukraine and Russia if requested. So that's the latest today as the fighting continues now, beginning week number 3, John.
Glenn, it's hard to find words to describe how unconscionable these actions have been by the Russian forces. In fact, the British were not shy. They did call it a war crime. There's an image of a woman with a couple of bags, just her belongings, standing in front of the hospital, all bombed out. I mean, it is just absolutely unbelievable to see these images, and it tugs at one's heart. These are unquestionably depraved actions by the Russian commanders that gave the command to bomb a children's hospital.
Absolutely. No matter what it's called, it's horrific, I suppose, if someday somehow things end up with some of those generals held to task, including Putin himself, perhaps, in a court after the war. War crimes would matter if that's what they're called. But whatever they're called, it's certainly horrific, and we need to keep praying for an end to that and, show the Ukrainians support any way we can.
Yesterday, the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, the leader of that church, Major Archbishop Shevchuk, said that priests are being killed and that the spiritual heritage of Ukraine is being destroyed by this bombing. Those are pretty strong words.
Yep. Of course, killing people would be of the most tragic circumstance there, but also Russian destruction of churches and other monuments, anything from churches to the world's largest airplane, which was one of the first things that was taken out in an attack on an airport by Russia to try and kind of wipe out some Ukrainian heritage.
Absolutely. And as we mentioned in the first hour, it really kind of puts things in perspective when it comes to this dispute between the Major League Baseball owners and the players, the lockout. It puts it all in perspective, the billionaires fighting with millionaires.
Yeah, not a good look there. I mean, I think from a business point of view, after a couple of years of COVID messed up seasons, they need to get their act together. And in light of everything else going on now, bear in mind, even during World War II, baseball continued, giving folks a little bit of a respite from the nonstop war news. But it does seem a little silly to be fighting over maybe some of what they're fighting over.
Absolutely. And the first couple of weeks have already been canceled of the regular season. So we'll have to stay tuned and see if they finally can come to an agreement. Glenn, if anything breaks here this hour, by all means, let us know, as there's constant developments going on in this invasion of Ukraine by Russia. Thanks so much.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin every hour in prayer, especially we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia. Always asking our Lord, through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, the Theotokos, as our Eastern Catholics call her. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of relevant radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. On a happier note, if you haven't signed up for Father Rocky's new Lenten Lessons on the Mass, the new super-duper and improved version, is still not too late. You can still do it this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent. In today's eighth lesson, Father Rocky talked about the sign of the cross. Why do we do the sign of the cross in Holy Mass? Father Rocky explains the biblical basis for the sign of the cross. So get ready to learn the Mass, live the Mass, and love the Mass more than ever before. Sign up. Do it now. Do it this morning while you're thinking about it at relevantradio.com/Lent. As we do every day, our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Matthew 6:21. Jesus the Lord says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is a really powerful verse of sacred scripture, and it's a great verse for us to meditate on, especially here during this season of Lent. What's your treasure? What is most important? What's your most important priority in your life? Is the Lord Jesus Christ number one? Is JC tops on your list? Or are you just too busy to make time for the Lord? At the end of the day, Jesus wants your heart. He's the greatest treasure that we can have. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now I want to talk about an issue that I'm passionate about. And of course, that's the issue of promoting and defending the culture of life. The largest Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign ever began on Ash Wednesday in 588 cities around the world. Moms, babies, families, and the future of our nation all hang in the balance. On Monday, 40 Days for Life reported that after the first 5 days that they know of, 29 moms had already chosen life, and that means that 29 babies were saved from abortion. It is a powerful testament to prayer, fasting, and peaceful vigils.
I had always considered myself pro-life, but it was once I got involved with 40 Days for Life that really caused me to make it my own, to challenge myself, to learn more about what abortion was, what the community resources were in our area, and how to truly help women choose life and help families in our community.
This is the most amazing, peaceful, loving way to truly help women and to save babies. I feel like it's the greatest opportunity for God to use us as his vessels and to be a presence on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, to touch the hearts and minds of not only the women, not only to save the babies, but to be there as a presence for the people within the clinic as well as the sidewalk escorts. Anybody that has anything to do with abortion, to be able to be a light in their lives and try and plant a seed for them.
And now joining us from Los Angeles, California, for much more on the current Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign is our regular contributor, Astrid Bennett Gutierrez. Astrid is a pro-life activist and speaker working in the Hispanic community to save the unborn and train leaders to end abortion. She's the president of the VIDA Initiative and the executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services, which provides support for the women of Los Angeles who are primarily Hispanic. Good morning, Astrid. Thanks so much for joining us from LA. It's always great to be with you. I always appreciate your perspective.
Thank you so much, John. It is a joy and a blessing for me to be on here with you today on Morning Air and to bring the good news that, yes, in fact, this 40 Days for Life campaign that started Ash Wednesday, which is a perfect time for this campaign because it's time for the church to do reparations, sacrifice, just love others. This is the time to do it. 40 Days for Life was launched in a record-breaking 588 cities, including Jackson, Mississippi, which is the location of the clinic, Jackson Women's Health, that is part of this Supreme Court decision that we are awaiting and that we're praying for, that we're hoping will overturn Roe versus Wade. There are 40 Days for Life prayer volunteers, people that are praying, fasting, and spending that time doing a loving public witness on behalf of the women that go there, the pregnant women and their unborn children, as well as Texas. Texas is also a place that we are so inspired by because they have passed the Heartbeat Act, virtually, banning abortion there. And 16 campaigns were activated in Texas. So we know that the abortion industry is counting their final days there. And so this has really been an exciting time for the pro-life movement. We are winning. Many cultural battles are very difficult, but this one in particular, we see the fruits, we see the victory in the horizon. So I invite anyone who hasn't taken that step to be a part of the pro-life movement, which is the loving response of the church towards this tragic destruction of unborn children and harming of women and men by abortion, that they will take the step to be a part of their local campaign. If there are 588 cities, there's probably one near you that is holding a campaign. Spend that time, 1 hour, 2, sometimes 3 hours. Our Lord suffered 3 hours on the cross to save us for our sins. We can spend some time with those children whose lives are also hanging in the balance. We can be there with our loving, prayerful presence, which is what 40 Days for Life is all about. 40daysforlife.com is the website where our friends can find more information and also where their local campaign is happening. And remember to keep in your prayers the Supreme Court decision, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health, that we hope will be a victory for the unborn. So yes, it's an exciting time, John. I am so grateful to everyone who is a part of the pro-life movement, in particular those who are going out to the streets to provide this loving public witness through 40 Days for Life.
And Astrid, you know very well firsthand, and as an executive director of LA Pregnancy Services, the fantastic work that 40 Days for Life has been doing, saving babies, helping mothers choose life, just doing amazing work. Can you talk about your own personal experience of what you've seen there on the ground, on the sidewalks?
As a director of a pregnancy center in one of the areas that are the strongholds of the abortion industry, Los Angeles, we have over 40 abortion facilities, sadly, in the city of Los Angeles County. I have to say that I am so grateful to the 40 Days for Life campaign volunteers, to everyone who spends time in front of those abortion centers, giving loving, prayerful support, loving words, hope, real hope to women and men entering those abortion facilities. We meet those women, and you know what they tell us, John? It's so beautiful. They tell us that the person that was standing there with a loving words, with the information about the pregnancy center, was an answer to prayer. We hear those words so often. That person was an answer to prayer. That person was my angel. So don't let the media deceive you about what those volunteers are doing in front of those abortion facilities. They are loving people. They are generous people who could be doing something else. John, I'm sure they're busy people with lives like everybody else. And yet they spend that time out in the cold. I know it can be very cold, very hot where you are there in Chicago, also in California. People that are in the streets and the sidewalks don't always get respectful treatment, you know, by the passersby. Sometimes they do. They get the thumbs up, you know, by the community. But they are there because they are the last hope. And the pregnancy centers, we get to see, we get to meet those women, we get to see those children born. And it is because someone was willing to stand out there, live their faith out in public, even though it cost them, I'm sure, time and effort. And people that are out there, sometimes I see them in wheelchairs. I see mothers with their children in the carriage out there doing this important work. So I commend all of you. And as a pregnancy center director, I'm going to tell you, we would not be as busy as we are saving lives if it weren't for those very brave prayer volunteers, 40 Days for Life, and people who stand in front of those abortion facilities year round. I commend you, and I thank you very much.
We're joined this morning by Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, pro-life leader and the executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services. Astrid, 40 Days for Life has done just unbelievable work over the years. They've saved nearly 21,000 babies. Can you imagine 21,000 babies? In fact, they've saved about 29, at least that they know of, through the first 5 days of this current campaign. What's it like for you to witness firsthand a save, to actually see a mom change her mind and decide, you know, I'm going to choose life and to save a baby outside of an abortion clinic?
One thing I want the listeners to understand is that women and men, families that go to these abortion facilities, many are still uncertain about what to do. Many think that it's their only alternative. They have been told, sadly, by a physician, by a nurse, by someone in their family, that their only option is abortion. They're too young, they're too old, they're too sick, they're too poor, and they need to have an abortion. Many are going to these places dragging their heart, dragging their soul. Do you know how incredible it is when somebody greets them and says, you don't have to do this, there's hope. There's a place that will help you. There's a pro-life physician that will give you a second opinion on that adverse diagnosis. You can do this. We will be with you. You're not alone. God is with you. Your child is a blessing. The tears of relief that stream down their face is something so incredible. So when we meet them, we see them with a face of joy mixed with, of course, tears of relief. And they're open to what we have to offer. They're open to seeing the physician. All we need is for women and men who are facing a difficult pregnancy situation to know there is a vast pro-life movement, over 3,000 pregnancy centers, maternity homes, that are willing to help you. You're not alone. God is with you. There is a movement that's willing to help you. The churches as well. Many churches are so happy to talk to these women, redirect them to the pregnancy centers. So we're so grateful for everybody who has the courage to offer a kind word, a word of blessing to a pregnant woman who is scared. But in particular, in those places, at near those doors of the abortion facility, because there are people, John, that we cannot reach. We cannot reach with all the advertising that we could do. Our funds do not allow for us to have the millions of dollars that Planned Parenthood has or Family Planning Associates. We don't have their budgets. But those loving people that stand there, they are everything. They are the last hope. And so when we meet the women, we get to see, we get to hear the stories. They sit down in our counseling rooms. They relax and they share their story. And then when the child is born, it is incredible to see their countenance, John. They are joyful. They are praising God. And I like to remember, and then they also remember those few months before when they were about to enter that terrible place, that hellish place, and someone was there. It made all the difference. And now they're holding the greatest gift in their arms. So please do not be afraid. This is a legal activity. Take advantage of your First Amendment rights. Go out to these places. Find a 40 Days for Life campaign. That way you're not alone. That way you get some training, which is important. And let me tell you, everybody has gifts, men, women, people that are older, people that are teenagers. Everybody is saving lives. All you have to do is say yes to the Lord. The training is there. The opportunities are there. This is the time. 40 Days for Life is a beautiful campaign, peaceful, prayerful. You're going to be out there saving lives, but I think it's incredible to realize that we're also saving our souls, our own souls, by being out there, John, in this important time of Lent. Our church is offering a loving response. The Catholic Church, arm in arm with the Protestant churches, all together, we're out there as the loving response of Christ for these men, women, and children.
Absolutely. Right here in Lent, you can pray, you can fast, you can do acts of charity, all rolled into one as part of the current Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign. You can go to 40daysforlife.com and actually sign up and learn much more about it. In the moments that we have, Astrid, I want to switch gears. I want to talk about what went on this past week on Tuesday, March 8th. It was International Women's Day. Can you give us a sense of how pro-choice women celebrated this so-called reproductive rights on this day?
Sadly, this International Women's Day has roots in communist thinking. One of the tenets of communism and Marxism is abortion. March 8th is a meaningful day for feminists to go out to the streets and demand abortion without apology, abortion on demand, with no limitations. We had one here in Los Angeles at our city hall where women went out there with the placards with signs, very vile language, very violent people. And it's so sad to see. We pray for them. We pray because I know that they are really, really scared because pro-life is winning, because the Supreme Court has this decision in their hands. Abortion will be something of the past. It will not only be illegal, John, it will be unthinkable. So I think the enemy, who has sadly blinded a lot of our sisters that go to these marches, he knows his days are counted. He knows that the ritual of abortion, this terrible sacrifice of innocent children will end. And that's why we're seeing this fervor within the feminists movement, particularly on this day when we should be celebrating the gifts of women. The ability to give life is a tremendous privilege, and yet they're looking at it as a burden, as a curse. So pro-lifers, we are the ones who are truly helping women, truly upholding them in their dignity, in their gifts, in the amazing ability to be able to give life to another human being. It's a blessing. So we pray for them, and we await them in the pro-life movement. Many of them have converted to the pro-life side, which is the truth, which is love, which is truly being for women.
And the work of the pro-life movement, the pregnancy centers, the sidewalk counselors, the so-called foot soldiers of the pro-life movement, they're responding to the cause of female empowerment, protecting pregnant women, giving them real options, and helping them to see that babies can be part of their future.
Absolutely. And I share a lot of these opportunities, a lot of these things on my social media. If anybody wants to follow me, Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Telegram. You can follow me. I'm always sharing opportunities for people to join the real movement in favor of women, which is the movement in favor of all human beings. We're not more or less than the other. We all have equal dignity in the eyes of God. So don't be shy. Join the pro-life movement. You will have an incredible time. It's a blessing. It is something that is so needed in our world. And right now, the momentum has built up because of this possible ruling in the Supreme Court in the next few months. So this is the perfect time to join the pro-life movement. I hope to see you there.
Absolutely. And I think little by little, women are realizing that abortion is not healthcare and that it's really not good for women. As always, Astrid, I so much appreciate your perspective and your passion for both the babies and the mothers. Thanks so much.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, the president of the VITA Initiative and the executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, we'll be joined by our spiritual director, Father James Kabicki, who will be with us to talk about our role as world peacemakers. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air after this short timeout. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. What a powerful message. Let there be peace on earth. And let it begin with me. A number if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Those are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he spoke from the hilltop, as described in the Gospel of Matthew. What exactly did Jesus mean, and why is this message of peace from the Prince of Peace so important for us during this time of war in Ukraine? More recently, in 1917, during the First World War, our Blessed Lord sent his mother, Our Lady of Fatima, with a peace plan from heaven. Our Lady said, "Wars are a punishment from God for sin, but in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph if her requests are done." Joining us now for much more is our spiritual director, Father James Kabicki, to talk about our role as world peacemakers. Father Kabicki is a Jesuit priest, the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, and a Relevant Radio longtime contributor with his daily prayer reflections, as well as a contributor here on this show. Good morning, Father Kabicki. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's great to be with you as always, even though these are some difficult times with what's going on in Europe.
Yes, and that's especially why it's good for us to be together and to share our faith and to pray together, because we can often feel very alienated and alone and think, well, you know, who am I? I can't do anything to change the situation in Ukraine or in Russia or in the rest of the world. And yet, you know, our Lord calls us, as you said so well, John, quoting from Jesus, that we are called to be peacemakers, and happy and blessed are those who are peacemakers. And I think as we began the show, you know, with that song, "Let There Be Peace on Earth, Let It Begin With Me," it really does begin with each one of us and with each one of our hearts. The great Russian novelist Alexander Solzhenitsyn said that the line between good and evil crosses every human heart. And so as we battle evil, especially thinking of that during this time of Lent, as we battle evil and seek for our own conversion, that requires us to also have peace in our hearts and strive to foster peace in our families and all around us.
It really is a spiritual battle. It's an ongoing battle. It's a battle between the culture of life and the culture of death, the forces of life and the forces of evil, and it really applies to every single one of us. So can there be peace on earth if I become a peacemaker? Do you really believe that, Father?
Well, that's where our faith comes in, you know, that if we prayed as Our Lady asked us to pray for the conversion of sinners, including ourselves, you know, our own conversion. But if we really prayed that and took that seriously, I think miracles would happen. And ultimately, there won't be peace on earth. We can't achieve that humanly speaking, but with divine help, if we follow God's desires and plan and God's will for humanity, then there would be peace on earth. But it can't be something that we achieve politically, because our own efforts to have peace, basically, they end up to be kind of just a standoff, you know, where an armed standoff, where the different sides on the of the conflict will have weapons that will threaten the other if they cross a certain line. And so it's not really peace. You know, there may be a ceasefire, but there really isn't peace until there is that following of God's plan for humanity.
I was listening to Drew in the afternoon talking to Dr. Mirovelli, and Dr. Mirovelli was talking about how he believes that in the end this battle between Russia and Ukraine is really going to be won with supernatural means. It's not just a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle as well.
That's right. And that's where each one of us comes into play, you know, that, again, it requires faith. You know, we tend to think, well, who am I? I'm so insignificant. What good are my prayers? But, you know, if we, as our Blessed Mother asked in Fatima in the year 1917, if we prayed the rosary, we would avoid wars. She promised that a greater war would break out after World War I if people did not pray the rosary and seek conversion of sinners. And it did break out. It was World War II. And so, you know, to follow Our Lady's plan to pray the rosary every day, to pray for peace in our families and in our world, that is a very powerful weapon, a spiritual weapon, against the forces of evil, which they are the cause of war. Sin is the cause of war. So we have to fight war by fighting sin.
Absolutely. And, you know, the message of Our Lady of Fatima is something that has deeply touched this reporter's heart. I would have to say that first with Our Lady of Guadalupe, but secondly with the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima, that was the reason that I reconverted to my Catholic faith, to our Catholic faith, back when I was a younger guy, back at a time when I was really disconnected. When I realized that all of these events that happened were happening at a time when there's people that are still alive. I mean, there were still people alive 20 years ago that were witnesses of the miraculous events at Fatima. Some people are actually even there for the miracle of the sun. And so the message of Fatima is very powerful. It's very real. You know, when you talk about you know, the message of Our Lady to Sister Lucia, years later, she saw this great light across the European sky, this what the scientists thought was an aurora borealis, but sure enough, just weeks later, Adolf Hitler invades Austria to start the beginning of the flame to start World War II, and it was exactly as what had been predicted during those apparitions in 1917 to Our Lady of Fatima.
Right, and it could have been avoided with that prayer power. You know, I went to Fatima as one of the great pilgrimages I had with Relevant Journeys and Relevant Radio listeners, and we just had a wonderful spiritual experience at Fatima, because one of the things there is a big chunk of the Berlin Wall, which I never thought in my lifetime would ever come down. I thought communism was here to stay, and to see that big chunk of the Berlin Wall there in Fatima really said to me that it was the power of the rosary, the power of prayer, that brought down the Berlin Wall that led to the end of communism in the Soviet, and the breakup of the Soviet Union. So we have to use the rosary now to make sure that the Russian Empire doesn't expand into another Soviet Union.
I want to talk about Our Lady of Fatima's peace plan from heaven and how we can put it into practice. But first, we need to take a break. I want to remind our listeners, if you want to be part of this conversation, if you have a special devotion to Our Lady of Fatima and understand our role as peacemakers, the importance of having peace in our hearts, of following her message, her peace plan from heaven, please give us a call, 888-914-9149. We have open lines if you want to chime in, be part of this conversation with Father Kubicki. So stay with us. There's much more on the other side as we continue our discussion with Father James Kubicki. We're talking about the importance of being peacemakers on a personal basis so that we can bring peace to our world. Stay with us. There's much more to come.
You'd come to us, dear lady. What do you want? I want to tell you that the war is going to end soon, and the soldiers will return to their homes. Do not fear. In the end, God will triumph.
You said you'd tell us who you are.
I am the Lady of the Rosary.
A powerful scene from the 1952 film, the Hollywood movie, The Miracle of Our Lady of Fatima. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Our number, if you want to be part of our conversation as we're talking about our role as world peacemakers with our dear friend, Father James Kibicki, our spiritual director and the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in western South Dakota. Father, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that powerful scene from the movie.
Yes, imagine and I put myself in the place of those little children and having our Blessed Mother identify herself and tell them that she was Our Lady of the Rosary. You know, it harkens back to the 1500s when Pope Pius, St. Pius V, asked the world to pray for the victory of the Christian Navy over the Turkish Navy. And the Battle of Lepanto happened, and Pope Pius V was convinced that this was the result of the Rosary, the prayer of the Rosary. And so he instituted that feast, Our Lady of Victory, which then became Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, which we celebrate in October. So there are so many reminders throughout history, John, of how our Lord calls us with His Blessed Mother to pray and to pray with faith, convinced that our prayers can and do make a difference.
Father, what is your take on the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Fatima, when she said to the children that wars are a punishment from God for sin?
Well, you know, the way I think of punishment, I always like to say this, John, that we are not so much punished for our sins, but by our sins, that our sins carry certain consequences. And so if we disregard God's will and go against God's will, God's plan for humanity, if we go against that, disaster is going to happen. There are going to be consequences. So if we do things that are contrary to God's plan to our nature, if we do things that contradict what God wants for humanity, the punishment is that those actions of ours have consequences and results that lead to war and conflict. So it really is true that sin is the cause of war, and if we want to fight war, we have to fight sin both in our own lives and then pray for the conversion of sinners in our world.
Father Kibicki, Our Lady of Fatima really brought a peace plan from heaven to our world through those three little children. She talked about penance and reparation, daily recitation of the rosary, the first Saturday's devotion and consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Can you briefly kind of give us some perspective on these requests from Our Lady of Fatima, this peace plan from heaven?
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, the rosary, I think, was at the heart of this, that as we pray the rosary, we look at Jesus with the eyes of Mary. That's what St. John Paul said. And so if we pray the rosary in that contemplative way, it brings peace to our hearts because we're looking at the great peacemaker, Jesus, who reconciled humanity with God and brought about the means by which we can be reconciled with one another. So the rosary is at the heart of that. And the rosary then leads to prayer and to penance and reparation. Reparation means to repair the damage of sin. And so if we make sacrifices, as Our Lady asked the three children to do, you know, to do penance, to give up desserts, to fast, and to make reparation, that's praying with our bodies, and that's a very powerful addition to the prayer of the rosary. And then ultimately, all of this should lead us to consecrate our hearts to the heart that followed God's will most perfectly, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So if we consecrate ourselves to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, what we're doing is saying, I want a heart like Mary's heart, and that heart will be the one that really fulfills God's will most perfectly, and in that way we will be avoiding sin. And then the later in Revelations to Sister Lucia, we have Our Lady's call to much like the nine First Fridays, where people would go to Mass, confession, and pray for the Pope's intentions, and basically on First Fridays. Well, this was on the first Saturdays, to do this as a way of showing that we are serious about our consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary by taking five First Saturdays and going to confession, to Mass, praying the Rosary, part of the Rosary, meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary, and then praying for the conversion of sinners. To do that on five First Fridays is a way that we show our commitment to our Blessed Mother.
Father Kubicki, today in this day and age, there's so many threats from all sides by the forces of darkness, but Our Lady can overcome these forces of evil literally overnight if enough people just pray the Rosary. I'm reminded of the words of Pope Pius XII, who said, "Give me an army saying the Rosary and I will conquer the world." That's why I think it's such a beautiful thing what we're doing here every night on Relevant Radio with Father Rocky praying the Family Rosary across America. I really think that this is making a difference for time and for eternity for our nation and for the world.
That's right. You know, people prayed the Rosary for years, and we didn't see the Berlin Wall come down until, you know, many decades. Many people didn't live to see that, but it did happen. And so, you know, the temptation is to give up and to think that our prayers, our rosaries, don't make a difference. And so, you know, for Relevant Radio to lead the way in praying the Family Rosary and also to pray the Memorare for an end to abortion, you know, this is really contributing to the culture of life. And it's where, again, we have to pray with faith. Jesus, when he walked this earth, at times came to places where the gospel says he was unable to work many miracles or any miracles because of their lack of faith. And we might think, well, the Son of God is all powerful. You know, he doesn't need our help. Well, he invites our cooperation because he joined humanity and he wants humanity to work together with God. God is not going to do something without our cooperation. And so if we have enough people cooperating with God's plan that came to us through Mary, then we can be assured that there will be results. There will be the miracles that we pray for.
And Father Kubicki, my hero, and I know he's your hero as well, the Marian Pope, St. John Paul II, spoke so much over the years during his pontificate about the Rosary being a peace prayer, how it can bring peace to the world, but also to families. The Holy Father really was such a visionary, but he was consistent with all the Holy Fathers even before him, all the way back to Fatima.
That's right. And, you know, Marian devotion, going back to Fatima, to Our Lady of Lourdes, and into the 1500s with Pope St. Pius V, it really shows us the power of the Rosary. And, you know, I would recommend to our listeners that if they want some good spiritual reading during Lent, and you can look this up on the internet at the Vatican website, to find Pope St. John Paul II's apostolic letter on the Rosary, and to read that. It's a short letter, but he talks about how the Rosary is a powerful prayer, how it was his favorite prayer, and how it is a prayer that families can pray together for their own peace in their families, and then peace in the world. So it you know, part of Lent, I think, is we have fasting, we have prayer. If we turn to that letter and use that for our prayer spiritual reading, I think it would be very helpful to us and help us see the importance of the Rosary as we pray for peace in Ukraine.
And the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, called the Rosary a compendium of the gospel, the prayer of the gospel. We can really make the Rosary really come to life if we just take a moment and really meditate on the individual mysteries and the biblical passages connected to every one of the mysteries. It brings power to praying the Rosary.
That's right. And, you know, as he said, we look with those mysteries at Jesus through the eyes of Mary. And so if we keep our focus on Jesus, who followed the will of the Father perfectly, even to his death, his sacrifice on the cross, if we look to Jesus, then our hearts will be transformed. The seeds of peace will be planted there, and we will let those seeds grow into fruit in our families and beyond our families into the world. So again, just I really want to encourage our listeners to take seriously this call to pray the rosary and to do so with faith, meditating on the mysteries, looking at Jesus through the eyes of Mary.
Somebody that's listening right now might be thinking, do my prayers really, do they really make that much of a difference? What would you say to them, Father?
Well, look at the five loaves and the two fish in the gospel. I mean, a little boy had those things that could no way feed 5,000 people. But in the hands of our Lord, they fed 5,000 people. So our prayers may seem very insignificant, but we have to have faith that God will use those prayers to work the miracles that we want to see happen in our world, especially the miracle of peace.
Thank you so much, Father Kubicki, for your spiritual insights and perspectives. We need to continue to pray to the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother, for peace in our hearts and around our world. Thanks again.
You're welcome, John. God bless you and all our listeners.
Father James Kubicki, the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, and of course, a longtime Relevant Radio contributor. It's now our time for us to be a part of another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Be an Encourager. It's from Lee Roberson. George Truett was a tremendously effective pastor for decades in Texas. His heart was broken when he accidentally killed his best friend while they were on a hunting trip. His daughter said she never heard him laugh after that day. Truett also had a radio program, and each day when it came to a close, he'd say, "Be good to everybody, because everybody is having a tough time." Because he knew personally what a heavy burden people could be carrying, he encouraged compassion toward them. Sometimes we cross paths with people who seem to be brusque and not very easy to like, yet there's usually a reason for their behavior. And often it's because they're hiding a heavy heart. If we take the time to understand what has happened, we may find that while they have a tough outer exterior, inwardly they're desperately wishing for someone to care about them. 1 Samuel 16:7 reminds us, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him.' The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart."
Amen. Thanks again, Glenn. Let's continue to pray to the Mother of God for peace and an end to the war in Ukraine with Russia. Pray the rosary with Father Rocky and the Family Rosary Across America, 7 p.m. Central tonight, and the Chapel of Divine Mercy at 3 with the Drew Mariani Show. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, our entire team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Be not afraid. Open wide the doors to Christ. We'll see you tomorrow.